Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For two, Shane is off today. Jacob Albrock in his stead. Bruce Hurdle with you here. Dan Israel joining us from the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network in the aftermath of a hold-on-to-your-seat kind of effort against the Baltimore Ravens game one in overtime with just incredible twists and turns down the stretch. But the legend of Patrick Mahomes, Dan, continues to be written. A no-look pass, two fourth down passes and plays that were done that without them they probably don't win the game. Just more of the same, kind of a ho-hum day for Patrick Mahomes.
It's interesting. You know, Bruce, yesterday I got asked, would you have won that game if Alex Smith were still the quarterback? I said, I'm not sure we would have won that game if John Elway had been quarterback, if Drew Brees had been quarterback, Dan Marino. I mean, it's getting to that level. It's something else to watch, man.
Albrock here, and that's sort of the thing, and I have a static answer every time. Is there age considered a quarterback in the league you'd rather have right now than Mahomes? And everybody says no, they'd rather have Mahomes than anybody.
I completely agree, and to watch this kid work, you know, I was on the air with you guys and early in the season, and I told you, hey, just be patient here because this is essentially a rookie player. You know, he's been in the league a year, but he hasn't played a year, and so it's going to take him a while to acclimate to the NFL. I don't know what I was talking about. I mean, at this point, at some level, he has just amazed me every week, and certainly the toughness, the grit, the ability to say, oh, we are not giving up on this game. There is still time for us to come back and win this thing from Sunday. Well, hey, Coach Reed said he thought it was Mahomes' finest performance. And, you know, it's hard to argue with. It's one of those it reminds me of the left-handed throw in Denver. It reminds me of – and it's interesting. We've been in the lead so much of the year that we don't get to see that aspect of out of Mahomes and out of Kelce and out of Hill. I'll give you a Tyreek Hill's another one, man. I said off the air to Danny Welniak on the sideline, I said – that I think Tyreek Hill, one good Tyreek Hill foot is probably better than two good regular feet. Because that kid, I don't know what he's got going inside there mentally and physically, but he just somehow manages to fight his way back onto the football field, and he can find the ball no matter where it's at.
The unflappable nature of Mahomes is that which is elevating everyone around him. His speed stays the same, whether he's up 30 points or down 5 or 6, which, by the way, he hasn't found himself in very much this year. But you just don't see this guy being sped up. And that was always the question. When you got to a team that had two really good edge rushers or teams that were giving you schemes where blitzes were coming from different places, how would he react in those moments? Well, we've got enough of a case study, Dan, to know that this kid doesn't flinch regardless. And I'm not trying to overstate what this guy is, but just being able to play at the same speed where the heart's not racing and he's not sped up is a tremendous advantage in this league.
Yeah, Bruce, as you well know, that's a key. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do, to control your emotions and to always be consistent with your tempo, because there is an energy difference that exists there. And, you know, it's hard not to fall into the hype. It's hard not to fall into the lull. And He is very, very consistent with it. I thought it was interesting that Coach Reed told me one of the things he really likes about Mahomes is that when he comes off the field, there are two aspects he thought that was incredibly unique. He comes off the field, all he cares about is what did I do wrong? What went wrong there? How do I fix it? And then when Coach says, well, this is what went wrong, he says, dial it up again. I'll make sure it's right this time. And Reed loves that. Reed loves the ability to work with a guy that's that way. The other thing he told me, and this one I found really fascinating, he said when he gives me his assessment after he's come off the field and he's on the sideline, he gives me his assessment, and then I go back and I look at it Monday, he's right so much of the time it's scary.
That's impressive.
He's able to see it. Yeah, it is. He is able to and process stuff in real time that a guy like Andy Reid has to see on film the next day. It is. It's very impressive. And, boy, it just, you know, as a Chiefs fan, to see a coach that has 20-plus years in the league be excited about his quarterback ought to tell you everything you need to know. But if that doesn't tell you enough, then go watch the highlights, man. Watch this kid throw. Watch this kid on fourth down. I mean, it's just so exciting. It is truly, truly entertaining football to a level that I'm not sure I've seen.
Dan Israel joining us, and Dan, next game up here is a big one. Maybe, you know, that you don't want to go hyperbole on it, but it's the biggest one of the year. Tyreek Hill, you mentioned it, just, you know, Eric Berry, Tyreek Hill, how much are the Chiefs going to be able to be ready on Thursday?
Well, Jacob, I mean, I think that's a key question, because I said last week, these two games, the Ravens and these Chargers, really the season kind of is coming down to these two games. With the margin of error that we've gained by defeating the Baltimore Ravens, it puts us in a much better situation that this isn't a must-win game any longer. But there's an awful lot at stake here where you could wrap up the division. You pretty much assure yourself, you pretty much buckle yourself into that first seed. And so there's a lot to play for. However, 4-day turnaround. And it's very difficult. You take a 7-day week that you would normally work, everything gets compressed. You're working on day one, you're working on day two and three, and on day two, you're working on 3.5 and 4 and 5. And so for creatures of habit, which certainly NFL coaches are, and they try to push that down to NFL players, for creatures of habit, that messes with everything. And the other aspect of it is that you always hear that players' bodies don't really start to feel recovered until Friday. They don't feel like playing another game until Friday because they're just so beat up. That Baltimore Ravens game was a physical one, man. They took some punishment. But I really truly believe Tyreek Hill will find a way back out on the field. I think you could duct tape this kid's helmet to the bottom of the bench. He'd find it and put it on and run back out there. He's of that mindset, and a lot of them are. I also think it's very exciting that we seem to be climbing the staircase here with Eric Berry. I mean, we're talking more and more like this guy's going to see the field here shortly. We needed to figure out something better to call it than day-to-day because it's been anything but that. But I think we are kind of getting down now to where it maybe is truly day-to-day. And getting him back on the field would be big, especially when you're going up against a quarterback like Phillip Rivers. You know, I'd say right now, maybe this is short-sighted to say, but I feel like if Eric Berry had been playing his position in the way he can play it this whole season, this team might be undefeated.
You just brought up Phillip Rivers, and people ask me all the time, who's the guy that you like to cover the most on the other side of the line of scrimmage? Well, Patrick Mahomes may be that answer now, but Phillip Rivers is a pretty close second. Dan, I don't know. He's the kind of guy that you hate if he's on the other side of the line of scrimmage, but my God, I bet you'd love playing with him. This guy's competitiveness has resonated so consistently over the years. Everybody in the NFL wants to win, but this guy, man, just breathes it, and he challenges his teammates, but he doesn't seem to overstep the line. Phillip Rivers, to me, is a very interesting study, but at the end of the day, he's a hellacious competitor and player.
No question about it. You know, he's never achieved probably the full potential that he really has. One of the big knocks on Phillip Rivers has been over the years that when he tries to put the game on his back, he can turn the ball over. And so he's always had a little bit of an issue with turning the ball over at very timely moments. That is mm-hmm. something that he is not doing this year, which makes him all that much more dangerous. So you got a player capable with the physicality, the athleticism that Phillip Rivers does coming into your house. He can do an awful lot with that body, and now his mind is in sync with it, and you know his 37-year-old experience level. I mean, he's got an awful lot of assets there that he's bringing to town, and they played very well. I mean, they're sitting, I think, 10-3 right now. So
yeah,
I just feel like he is always a threat. He is always a formidable threat. For whatever reason, and I don't know why, I'm not sure I care. I'm glad Andy Reid seems to have his number, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beaten him 9 times, I think, now. And Phillip Rivers used to just slice and dice us. And when Andy Reid got here, that all stopped. And it's been nothing but gravy since then. And I hope that continues. It's almost an anomaly where, you know, you can't keep the odds at some point is this guy's going to win a game in Arrowhead Stadium. But I like my chances against him because he is definitely somebody you have to protect against.
Yeah, Dan Israel joining us here on Sports Daily. Quick update for everybody. The report this morning is that Melvin Gordon is a big question. Austin Eckler's a big question. So it may fall on Phillip Rivers a little more. But, Dan, I want to look at the other side of the ball. Joey Bosa's back. When he's played, he's been really as good a pass rusher as there is. We've seen, you know, the answer to Mahomes seems to be getting pressure on him. Can San Diego do that with their nice pass rushers without, you know, sending the house to do it? Is that the way to do it against Mahomes, or is it changing up the pass rushing looks? Because Baltimore brought a ton at him, and it kind of worked for a while.
Yeah, you know, I was watching the Baltimore game, and it almost felt like I hadn't done any studying whatsoever. I mean, every single snap, it seemed like they looked different than what you expected them to. They really just brought the kitchen sink against Mahomes, and it was effective for maybe a half or three quarters, but just not effective enough. Eventually, we wore him down. Eventually, we figured out that the screen pass was going to work against him, and so I'm not really sure what you do. It seems as though you can slow the Chiefs down if you've got a formidable defense, but you're not going to stop them. And the one big difference here that I'd say between week one, San Diego, so many years of entrenched work there. Week one, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Didn't even notice you said it.
This team, right. It's just so ingrained in our psyche.
Yeah.
But the difference between that week one contest and this one really, to me, is Joey Bosa, because this guy is just he's one of those freak athletes that seems to be able to do things that other human beings can't do. Not necessarily maybe to a level like Aaron Donald, but a lot like, you know, Von Miller for the Broncos. He can just really create havoc on your offensive line. I'm interested to see if Jeff Allen's going to play. You know, will Cam be back? Will we have the full, you know, what's our offensive line going to be? Because they are going to have their hands full against that Chargers defense. Joey Bosa leads that thing, and he's a beast. I will say, you mentioned Austin Eckler. I hope he's down as well, because let me tell you, that kid is on fire right now. I may be more concerned about him than I am Melvin Gordon. Gordon's definitely ruled out, but Eckler's just questionable at this point. I'd really like to see him ruled out, because he is lighting it up.
Well, as it relates to Chris Klieman and the hiring of Chris Klieman from North Dakota State at Kansas State, Austin Eckler's a really good example of a player at another level, Division II level in the RMAC at Western State in Colorado, that went on to play in the NFL. Really, really good football player. All right, Dan, the Chiefs are, even though there have been some tighter, more competitive games, that's what you expect in the month of December. That's the NFL. But I'm going to make an argument for the Chiefs that makes me feel even better about where they're going. okay, the Cowboys and the Bears are streaking a little bit and playing pretty well. The Bears coming off a really nice win of the Rams, but the Texans, the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots found a way to lose a football game in incredible fashion last weekend. There's a grind. I'm not going to say a wall for these really good teams, but there's a grind in the NFL that teams become susceptible to late in the season. Injuries, all of the just the weight of the season. The Chiefs have largely been immune from that, and I think it's going to set them up for home field advantage, and they're going to have everything right there in front of them because they've avoided this kind of grind that other teams right now are going through and maybe not responding to as well.
Yeah, Bruce, I think this San Diego – I did it again. I think
it's all right.
This Chargers game on Thursday night is so important just for those last 2 weeks being somewhat meaningless. They do need to recover from this. You know, they need to get Tyreek Hill some time off. And you're right, it is such an incredible grind. The one thing I'll give the Chiefs, and it's kind of what you were alluding to there, is that there has been a consistency here that no other team, very few other teams, I mean, even the Rams have blown up. The Saints and Rams, who look just as powerful as us on offense, have blown up and had these, you know, six-point games, just ponderously low games. Let's face it, the Chiefs have lost two games by a field goal each, a combined 6 points total. And I think that consistency is really, really something that I think for us that have been around a long time as fans, to look back at all the years before and go, we made it, we're there, bam, you know, something bad happened. Somebody pulls the rug out from under us. That's why this team is different. But to your point, it is such a grind getting here. I love the fact that they're kind of in playoff atmosphere already, because you do have to mentally get ready for that. I don't really want them to have 3 weeks completely off, but they need the rest. They're somehow got to find a balance here between staying in playoff form, finishing out the month of December the way you're supposed to, and then jumping into the postseason and making those buys really pay off. And it's going to be interesting to see the coaching job that Andy Reid and his staff does through this time, how they'll play out those last two games if they indeed win on Thursday night. And you know, and if they don't, then the game back on, right? I mean, they're going to have to go out there and they're going to have to earn their seat as if they haven't played that way all season.
Dan, last one from me. You mentioned pulling the rug out. Kareem Hunt's situation felt like that moment at the time still could be. Do the Chiefs have enough in the backfield, and are they ready to be done with that situation mentally? And you know, does that linger at all for them, both on the field and off the field, as we head toward the postseason?
You know, from what I've seen so far, Jacob, I would say it's lingering more with me as a fan than it is inside the locker room. They really have somewhat moved on to this. There are many in the organization. You know, you talked about running backs that kind of aren't on everybody's radar. I think Kareem Hunt was one of those from Toledo. Look at Philip Lindsay. He wasn't even drafted, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
There are many in the organization right now that believe Damian Williams is one of the best athletes on the team. So you have a kid at running back who really a lot of people feel are possibly he had more athletic talent than Kareem Hunt did, and he's just now getting the opportunity to run the football. So that's very exciting to see what they can do. I thought Spencer Ware had a tough, bruising running day. We'll have to see how his body recovers from that. I think he had a little bit of a hamstring pull or something like that. But I really feel like the organization itself has moved on from that. The way they fire drill player injuries throughout the season, especially in training camp and then throughout the season, where 1 week they'll just pull a player out and plug another one in there because they know at some point there's the possibility that player might have to play, is so effective for the Chiefs. That next man up philosophy is run so deep in Andy Reid's coaching philosophy that they are prepared for that. And so as you see Spencer Ware and we see Damian Williams and even Darrell Williams get more and more reps in practice, I think you're going to see that the run game even return to its kind of same polish that it had. Look, Kareem Hunt's a special back. I don't want to minimize that, but I really feel like from an organization, they're past it. They've moved on.
Yeah, as well they should. Dan, have a great call Thursday night. All ears and eyes will be on that one. Really looking forward to it. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Should be a good one.
All right, there he goes. Dan Israel. He joins us each and every Tuesday right here on Sports Daily from the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. Shift back to college football and the hiring of Chris Klieman at Kansas State. The one and only Tim Fitzgerald joining us here in just a matter of moments. Jacob, fresh off of radiation treatments. Oh, you don't think this guy is not a player?
Through, man.
I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got radiation, but I can do it. Part of Team Fitz. We'll talk about it all as we continue in just a moment here with Tim Fitzgerald.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.